comes in customs work on it, we conduct the searches and intercept it, but the courier services and the post office are one of the hotspots.
On a separate matter, I know you tend to do these videos, and some of them draw some attention. One in particular was with regards to, I think, joint enterprise and persons having this fear that when they're in some sort of a confined space and a firearm is found. And I just wanted to offer you the opportunity maybe to explain or maybe, I don't know, open up your audience a bit, because there has been a lot of fear, I guess, from persons in when they find themselves in these situations.
Okay, so basically, joint enterprise is when two or more persons partake in an incident. Most times, when we do stop and searches and we stop a vehicle, let me first start by telling you we do not know whether everybody on the vehicle left the same place together. Sometimes the place the firearm is found in the vehicle, we cannot tell who it belongs to. Most times when persons are arrested, their attorneys or their family members ask them not to say anything, to remain silent. So if everybody is silent, one of the easiest or the best things that police can do at that time is prefer charges against everybody. Now, you have to take each case on its own merit, because there are certain situations. For example, if we stop a vehicle and a firearm is found in a backpack or a pouch that is across one's body, we will not charge everybody in the car, because that firearm was found on a particular person. At the same time, if we try to stop a vehicle and a firearm is thrown out of a window, all right, you might say, okay, maybe it's the passenger to the right side of the car, but know that it may have come from one passenger, hand it over to the next and throw it out. So the easiest thing we can do as the police is to charge everybody, allow the evidence to be presented in the court, and the magistrate will make a decision. Most times when this matter goes before the court, one person normally takes the blame. It's just sad that everybody has to wait for the court and they have to be granted bail. But you have to take each investigation on its own. But most times, most persons will say anything, and the most prudent thing for us to do is to charge everybody. Because our laws are different. You cannot use what one defendant says against the other to prefer charges against another person. Our laws are different. And the prosecution has to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. So it's not like the French law, where you have to prove it on a balance of probability, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Okay.
My next question would be for... Well, two more questions, colleagues. Sorry. DCP De Freitas, I just wanted to know if there's any update on that shooting incident which took place a couple of weeks now between Chaussee and Leslie Land, where there was that exchange of gunfire. We had gotten a lot of, I guess you could say, eyewitness reports from that incident, but there was still no, I guess, proper clarity on what really went on there. Are you able to provide some clarity at this point?
That particular incident you speak of is a very complicated one, and I suspect very much that we will have to go the way of forensics and ballistics to put it into perspective. And I do not want to go too intimately into the details because of that aspect of it. Yeah?
I said two, but I have a follow-up, but I'll leave that alone. Now the next question, I think, would either be for Inspector Murphy or the Commissioner. And I think because of the success of the GNFU unit, I'm sure you've seen on your own bulletins, even on our publications, the citizenry is very interested in a matter which predates the two of you, which happened about, let's say, 5 years now, where a quantity of suspected illicit material was found in a container in a premise of a business. I think that was about 2021 that case happened. Because of the interest of the public, I pose that question to know, has there been any headway in that particular incident in these 4 to 5 years?
I don't know. It is a court case. I don't know if it's something that the prosecutor would probably want to explain. As it relates to possession, the offense of possession, because the items were found on a property belonging to a business lease, and at the time nobody was there. So. And or if you want to give a brief on that at another,
it's a cold case.
Yeah.
At that time, there was very limited information. Do we have off the top of your head, do you know a quantity, what was recovered, etc.? No, none of that.
That was before I came to the unit, so I wouldn't have these. Yeah, but I could tell you about the one on the port. That was recently. Intercepted. That matter is under investigation, and we are pursuing suspects. A number of persons have been arrested, and we are doing it. Well, we're doing a parallel investigation with FIA, and I will tell you in the not too distant future, persons will be arrested and more than likely charged.
Can the respective person explain a cold case for context and why that may have been? Why is that case in that particular situation? Please, anyone?
Well, you see, as the name suggests, cold case means that the evidence is not forthcoming so that anybody could be charged. With reference to that incident, before a matter could get to prosecution, you would have the case filed. But as it relates to possession, there are a number of things that you need to prove, and one of the things is knowledge. So you would have to find out who was responsible for bringing that container there. So it would be trying to link signatures, you know, because it came from abroad, right? So you would need to know who sent it and who received it. But remember, you said that it was dropped off on the premises. So that linkage, that is where we have the thing. Because you see, with possession, there is a chain, the chain of custody. So once it is broken, then you have a problem. Now remember, once you've said that it is drugs, do you think that somebody would put up their hand and say, hey, it's mine? So you see, that is where the link got broken. So it is the link from the person who sent it to the person who received it. And this is where the issue lies, trying to identify who received it. So as we say, it's a cold case, so the investigation is ongoing. I hope that clarifies something.
Good morning, members of the Heritage Table. I'm just trying to visit on 7TV. My first question is for Mr. De Freitas. I believe it was a couple of press conferences ago, you gave us an update on the situation with K-9 Officer Tyson in regards of the last update that was received. It was not any rat poison or any of that nature was found in the report. I know that you said that afterwards another investigation would commence on a update of what exactly happened in that incident. I can't recall, or maybe if you did, I can't recall if you gave an update since then, but if has there been any clarifications or any update in regards to that matter?
Yes, that aspect of it continues. We've almost ruled out the issue of the rabbit or poisoning in general, and so, of course, we need to find out whether the canine might have passed as a result of natural causes or some illness. So now we are going through that process. So as soon as any results come, we will enlighten on that.
Okay, thank you. And my next question would be for any members of the table. So with the upgrade, especially with technology, I've been seeing a lot of now more cyber crimes, especially commencing, even with more scams that's actually been going on. My question is, what would be the next tactic for the Resolution Police Force to better apprehend, especially when more cyber crimes are now commencing within the police?
Before you speak on apprehension as it relates to these cyber crimes, if somebody calls your phone and says to you that your sister, your auntie is at the hospital and they probably need about $1,000 to purchase medication, what would be the first thing you would do? Not verify?
All right.
So we, as members of the RSLP, we continue to sensitize persons as it relates to these events. What, like, the calls, the questions that are being asked by those perpetrators, and persons still fall victim, all right? We have incidents where you see a vehicle for sale on Facebook, you are not brought a mechanic to check the vehicle for you, but you already have $20,000 in your hand going to, because it's too good to be true, a 2023 Suzuki Vitara for $10,000, that's too good to be true. Let me go and buy. Like the old people say, we as semi-chefs, we like too much risk. Now, you get there, you don't see a vehicle, but you're handing over the $10,000 or $20,000 to somebody, and the person tells you, go to Denry and get the key. I mean, come on. We continue to sensitize persons. So most of those scams, we have to blame the victims. All right, somebody calls you, tells you to top them up $150, and when they get the top up, you, a gentleman will bring €100 for you or €200, and you fall for that without even verifying who you're speaking to on the other end. Without even verifying, is your mother really at the hospital? Is your auntie really at the hospital? So it starts with sensitization before arrest, and we, as members of the police force, we continue to sensitize, but the person just don't listen. Person just don't listen. That's where the problem lies. So if persons start listening more and taking preventative measures, I would guarantee you those incidents will definitely go down. But as it relates to the arrest, a lot of times it's difficult because a lot of these things is cybercrime. Sometimes the person just purchased a SIM card and made the call and gets rid of the SIM card afterwards.
I just want to add, Mr. Bissett, that the Royal St. Lucia Police Force fortunately has a IT team of 21 officers. And within that team, we have a number of IT professionals that are duly qualified in many cyber-related areas. And we also, within that team, have a good number of ethical hackers that are able to put certain offenses into perspective. Cybercrime is certainly a very wide range of offenses, especially those related to the exploitation of vulnerable people, women and children. And we need to be in a position to identify these respective people. And as a result, we've strengthened the IT team. In fact, as we speak, the IT department is housed with two inspectors of police. And most of the professionals in the IT department are officers of a high rank. I want to inform the public also that on Tuesday and Thursday of next week, we will be increasing the capacity of the police IT professionals, where we are running two significant training courses for them. one with five persons on the Tuesday and the other with five persons on the Thursday. So I think that answer would help as part of some of the initiatives that we are taking to ensure that the cyber environment remains palatable for St. Lucians. But we should be doing more. Thank you.
Okay, hi, good morning. I'm Nikhil Edwin from NBC. Just about three questions. I know you all spoke about your plan for Jazz in terms of the traffic and whatnot and urging the public, you know, to drive safely. But what are your general plans for, you know, the traffic in terms of the, you know, the congestion in the north? What is the plan for, you know, moving forward? Do you have anything new that you guys are going to be implementing or putting in place?
Is Mr. Patrice with us? Mr. Robert, do you want to speak a little about some of our traffic management plans?
Reference to the traffic, if you notice, daily it's heavy. We have our officers out there, limited staff, but we have them out there doing all the patrols they can and trying to maintain the traffic flow. Inspector Francis, who's heading that part of the department, is always trying his best every day, coming up with different strategies to see how we could get a better flow. We have issues with a lot of drivers. The way they drive sometimes cause those things. Some people stop, they're on their phones and don't even realize that the road ahead of them is still ready to move, backs up the traffic. We have issues with a lot of the minibus drivers. Sometimes they drop off, pick up, and they don't pull off the road. So we have a lot of backlog. But we are putting things in place to try to, you know, remedy that situation. So we could, even if the traffic may not move as fast as everybody would want it to, but as long as we could get it flowing, everything will be okay.
You said things, can you just maybe share one or two?
Just let me add, if you don't mind, Mr. De Freitas, that we are exploring the purchase of 20 more motorcycles to complement our current fleet. Usually, the use of motorcycles within the Department of Road Safety and Traffic Investigation assist us to manage the flow. We are also exploring for some of the offenses, for example, within the public transportation system to be managed prior to drivers being en route rather than interfacing with them along the route. Let me give you an example. So for example, we have a minibus with 14 passengers and the persons are on route to work. I think it would have been more appropriate to interface with the owner and the driver within the context of the association or even at a bus terminal rather than interfacing with them while they are along the route. I think that would give us an opportunity to verify their credentials before it puts anybody at risk. So these are two of the things that we are trying to do to minimize congestion, make sure that proactively we have more vehicles on the road and also working prior to the offense period. Further, I must remind that we have doubled the capacity of the Department of Road Safety and Traffic Investigations last year, we have doubled the human resource capacity. And that is a main part of the reason where we have been experiencing increased citations over the respective period. I must remind that we had over 14,000 citations last year. And these are some of the things that we anticipate to make the road safer and there to be a safer flow. We also have increased the capacity of supervisors within the unit. We have control inspectors there now, and we also have the respective other subordinate ranks. So the Department of Road Safety and Traffic Investigations have been given a lot of attention over the respective period so that things could be better. But I must register that whilst we augment, we have a situation where the registered vehicles along the road are at its highest. I think on my last check with the Communication and Works, there were over 101,000 registered vehicles in St. Lucia. That represents a vehicle for every 1.5 person. So in my view, the road in St. Lucia is overpopulated and with vehicles. And it's for that drive, last year, we started the Durelec vehicle campaign, where we removed over 1,000 vehicles, which were doing Durelec and causing obstructions along the side of the highways. That was a project with Solid Waste Management, and I am aware that as we speak, the arrangement is still led to remove more vehicles. That I have put a quota on. I want to see no Durelec vehicles on the streets of Grassroots. We want to remove all of them. In fact, last week I was interfacing with Mr. De Freitas, the person in charge of traffic, to explore how we can prefer charges against some of the people who intentionally utilize the side of the road as a garage and impedes the common citizen from having a fair use of the road. I think it's unfair that an individual would just wake up one morning and decide that he or she has a garage and a crew, a backlog of about 20 and 30 vehicles at the side of the road, and it has to cost me and other commuters to pay extra gas, extra risks, and so forth in the country. In my view, that has to stop. There's a particular summary offense that we will explore, Mr. De Freitas, and the campaign on that will be announced. As I said, this would be within the rubric of the 127 steps to order. We have to have order in this country. People would just wake up one morning and decide, oh, I'm going to open a refreshment bar next to the church. When the law is saying that persons should not be selling alcohol within 100 yards from any church or school. So they're flaunting the law. And then now have to be the one to be on the back foot in that regard. So a Sunday morning, we would pass on the street and realize the construction of the project. Nothing from DCA, nothing from planning. In fact, I will even posit that there isn't even
a proper registration for the material that is being used for the project. In some cases, the material may not even be offered. And then we have to sit down and just watch people just fronting the law in that way. The Rasmussen Police Force will not take that posture anymore if we recognize that people are building structures, for example, on the bus terminals, we will break it down. If we recognize that people open shops overnight within 100 yards of a school or church, we will break it down.
Because these things will not be tolerated under my management of the Rural Cemetery Police Force. I hope that really answers the question. I just brought in the whole issue of the derelict vehicles and the different things that are blocking the traffic. Okay?
My other question would be, are there any leads on Class E, the missing room? I just want you guys to also delve into, you know, can we see any new effective way to deal with missing persons, because there has been an increase in, you know, persons going missing, whether they be found or not.
So with regards to Cassie, the police and even me personally, we have been in very close contact with the family members, especially two of the sisters. And I can tell you, based on the information received, we have mounted numerous operations relative to Cassie. I can tell you, some sections of the media have been very helpful with that investigation. Sadly, we have not been able to locate her. The last bit of information that we had was that she had given birth at a medical facility in one of the French islands. We have checked with the French, and they have not been able to verify the information that she may have on there using a different name. We did run a check of our local medical facilities as well, and we actually ruled out that happening locally. So many leads have been pursued. It has even gotten to a point where persons are trying now to even scam the family. They now telling the family if they pay, then they can give information. We've advised the family against that. But it's really one of those mysterious disappearances, if I can put it that way. Because really, we've looked into every possible bit of information we found, and yet we've not been able. Of course, we have nothing tangible to come out and really confirm whether the young lady is alive or dead. We're still hoping for the best in this matter. Many reported sightings of her. We have pursued that information. Some of it has not been credible. On one occasion, actually, her sister was sighted, and we got calls that the young lady was on a particular street in Castries when we responded. It was actually her sister. So we have not exhausted, but we have followed up on every single bit of information that we've been given with regards to Cassie. In relation to new strategies, like you say, in investigating missing persons, we would have reported at an earlier press conference that one of the issues, I think, was we've tried to research it, but when way back in 1990 when I joined the organization, there was this, and many of us who have been there for years,
there was this stipulation that the person had to go missing for 24 hours before an official report could be made. We have said that that is no longer the case. As soon as the disappearance causes some kind of concern, whether it be 5 minutes after, the police will actively begin investigations into that missing person. So it is. So we start off that investigation almost on the spur of the disappearance. I think that is being proactive. Of course, again, it will take information to assist the police in resolving such matters.
Good morning, everyone. Commissioner, let me take the opportunity to say congratulations for being reappointed as commissioner. You alluded earlier to some of the expectations, but generally speaking, what can we expect from you subsequent to your reappointment as commissioner of police?
The plan really remains the same. We started off with a plan. It came in on the 2nd of September 2024. That plan was enhanced after the first 6 months. I think I'm on the record indicating that from the 1st of April 2026, we would start up the organization with a formal strategic plan. And this is what Dr. Seeley has reported on earlier. And of course, we have also done what we call 127 steps to order. Really and truly, we have a lot of laws in Zero Vision, all over the statute books, right? And some of them, the laws are being breached. So in that regard, we will focus on order. That is the focus for the next 2 years. How St. Lucians will do, what they're supposed to do within the context of the Constitution and all of the other related laws, no matter how small it is. Like I said a while ago, I must reiterate that people cannot just be building refreshment areas that is not properly sanctioned. And that is the direction that I'm going. If we chip in on all the little matters, then there will be greater order with some of the bigger matters. The other thing too, I want to try as best as possible within the context of the Royal St. Lucia Police Force to keep the human resources together. And that is why, within the context of the press conferences, I will invite